Welcome to Christmas morning, a world where angels sing and shepherds, wearied with work, follow a light that is brighter than anything they've ever known. Nestled amidst the bleating sheep lies the paradox of Christmas, the divine cloaked in the ordinary, the infinite cradled in the finite. Imagine the tiny child, the vulnerability wrapped in swaddling cloth, the miracle of God choosing not a palace, but a manger as God's stage. As we wonder and ponder this mystery, we turn to the end of Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, the story of the shepherds. It unfolds the mystery of Christmas for us in the way it talks about the child, about the shepherds, and about the story. About the child. The famous story of the birth of the child in Luke 2 is anchored in history. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. It traces the travels of Mary and Joseph and tells of a simple birth in poverty with a feed box for a bed. It is from the shepherds that we are told the child's significance. An angelic messenger announces, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The language there is significant. Savior. It's a term used almost exclusively in Luke's gospel, and it has a wide range of meaning, from healing somebody, to making them whole again, to rescuing someone from peril. It can apply to this life, it can apply to the life to come, or both together. It's very different from terms like Messiah or Son of God, which stress who Jesus is. This term stresses what Jesus did. And indeed, when he is older, he will cast out demons. He will rescue those who cry in distress, "Lord, save me." He will promise, "Today you will be with me in paradise." All is part of what this child would do, the Savior, Christ the Lord. Hardly what we would expect of a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But more still is involved. This story comes from Luke's gospel. It is written for an individual called Theophilus, Most Excellent Theophilus. Your Excellency Theophilus, probably a Roman official. I think the gospel in its initial draft was written as a defense document for the trial of Paul, which comes at the end of the book of Acts. Remember, Luke and Acts are together. You got this big build-up to the trial, but we're not told about the trial, much less the end of it. The case would have been heard by the prefect of Rome, Titus Flavius Sabinus. And Theophilus might be a sort of alternative way of referring to him. In that context, this story makes an audacious claim, because in the Roman world, the only person who could carry the title of Savior was the emperor. This child is a rival to the Roman emperor. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and the coming of this child resets the authority structure of that time and all time. In the end, this child would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This child is Savior in the fullest sense, the infinite cradled in the finite. About the shepherds. Part of the mystery of Christmas is the place of the shepherds in the story. We're, of course, accustomed to seeing them there. Maybe you even played a shepherd in a church drama at some point. But in another sense, their presence is quite scandalous. For in the Roman period, shepherds had become disreputable characters. Most were poor in background. They didn't own the sheep, but were hired to take care of them. And many were considered quite unreliable. If a shepherd was trying to sell you a sheep, it probably meant he stole it. In John chapter 10, the evangelist writes, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." And the contrast is with Jesus, the good shepherd. And that adjective good is always there when referring to Jesus as a shepherd. Why then would Luke choose this story about shepherds when he could have told the story of the Magi, those who had the ability to read the stars, a capability highly prized in the Roman world? Why didn't he do that? Because Luke is making a point. Remember, he started his gospel with the story of a minor priest and his barren wife who is miraculously pregnant. And then the second story is of a girl from Nazareth, also miraculously pregnant. Remember what Nathaniel said about Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then the shepherds. These are marginal people at best, but they are in the center of the story of Jesus, whom the angels announce as Savior. Luke is doing something here with the stories he chooses to include. These three stories are only in Luke, and there's a whole raft of stories that are only in Luke, and they are about marginalized people who encountered Jesus. Simeon and Anna, an old homeless guy and bag woman in the temple, the widow of Nain, who had lost her husband and now was taking her only son out to bury him. She was as good as dead. In the parable about being neighborly, the priest and the Levite go by on the other side. It's a Samaritan of all people who provides the help. When Martha is worried about preparing a meal and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, Jesus says Mary has chosen the rightful thing. There's the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son, the story of 10 lepers being cleansed, and only one comes back to thank Jesus, a Samaritan. There's the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. The tax collector at a distance praying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And he goes down righteous. Another story about a tax collector up in a sycamore tree in Jericho wanting to see Jesus. And then the story of the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus says. All these stories are only in Luke, because Luke is making a point about Jesus as Savior. He is Savior of all. Jesus is the Savior of all, and all means all, even those on the margins, even those with no claims on God's mercy. As often as you have done it to the least of these, Jesus is Savior of them too. The presence of the shepherds in this magical story reasserts the miracle of Christmas, that God chooses not a palace, but a manger as God's stage. And God chose a field with shepherds in it outside of Bethlehem. And God chose a place at a distance in the temple where a man prayed. And God chose a sycamore tree. And God chose the tree of the cross. These are stages in God's story. The emperor at Rome might be savior of the elite and powerful, but the child in the feed box is the savior of all. About the story. The most marginal people in the world are part of this story. A child born in poverty. In that day, he had about a 50% chance of making it to age 2. Shepherds came, but who would notice? Part of the miracle of Christmas that fills us with awe is that we even know about it. Children are born in poverty all the time. Children in poverty are dying by the thousands in Gaza right now. But from the beginning, there is something different about this story. Luke notes, when the shepherds saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. From the beginning, this story was told, and it filled people with wonder. Moreover, the shepherds reported all they had heard and seen as it had been told unto them. They used the language of the angels, the Gloria, and that word Savior. No, it's not a story etched in marble or gold. There are no gilded carols or twinkling reindeer, and there is no Santa present. Only an exhausted young mother, her trembling husband, a couple of shepherds, a few sheep and goats, and a swaddled child who is a love that transcends the ordinary, a love that lights the way even in the darkest nights. Christmas is an invitation to embrace the wonder of the divine dancing with the human, to witness the mystery of the Word made flesh. It's an invitation to believe the impossible, to hope in darkness, and to find, nestled amidst the straw of our lives, the one who is the light and Savior of all. And it's a story that invites each of us to be a beacon of hope in the world. Welcome to Christmas morning. Unto us a child is born, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Behold the child. Behold the shepherds. Behold the story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.